Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. We're out at sea on the Disney Fantasy right now, but don't worry. We're still answering your listener questions here on the show. Ricky joins me today to plow through some of your questions. They're awesome, so stay tuned, including a question about what to do on the first day of your Walt Disney World vacation. But first, a word from our sponsor, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days2Go, WDW. Days2Go lets you count down the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, obviously, I have 0 days to go as I'm on the Disney Fantasy with friends. But the greatest thing about this app is that I can turn it back over as soon as I get home from this trip and start counting down to Wine and Dine race weekend or even marathon weekend. Not sure when I'm going to get back, but I guarantee I'll get that counter going right away. I also get great pictures to get me pumped up for that next trip. I can customize the text and colors. It's just a great way to turn my Apple device, my iPhone 7, into a Disney device. And you can do the same right now. Just drop by virtualmickey.com today and download Days2Go WDW.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1196 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday, Mon. We're in Jamaica. That's right. We're on the Be Our Guest Podcast Cruise 4.0. Having a blast with our friends and family. And, you know, life doesn't get much better than sailing with the Disney Cruise Line. We will do another podcast cruise, don't worry, for all you land lovers that are back home. So stay tuned for that. I'm sure we'll have some details in the coming months. But for right now, we're having a great time. Lots of pictures coming your way this Saturday as we return to Port Canaveral. I'm too cheap to buy the Wi-Fi, but I guarantee you I've been taking pictures and video all throughout the adventures. So stay tuned to find out everything that happened on the podcast cruise. Joining me today, you're going to get a little Mike and Ricky in the morning because we're recording a little bit early and answering your listener questions. So here she is from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. What is going on down in the ATL, Ricky? Actually, sorry, in Falmouth. No. We're in Falmouth. That's right.
In Jamaica. What's Jamaica going on in Jamaica, Mon? Yeah. I don't know. I think I heard tell of Margaritaville, but I'm not entirely sure. So
I believe we're going there. Margaritaville, just, you know, because we went to the one in Chicago in the spring with our friends, the Gardeners, just because we were up touring Chicago for a weekend to get together. But the one that I went to in Mo Bay, and that's what the locals call Montego Bay, Mo Bay down there, on a previous cruise, it had a crazy long, like, tubi slide, you know, the slides you don't like and I don't like, the enclosed
yes.
ones. It had a crazy long tubi slide that, like, spits you out into a body of water, but it's about a 10-foot drop, and everybody that was going off that thing was drunk. That thing was a death trap, like, in 10 different ways. So I'm wondering if the one in Falmouth will have that. I'm not going down it, but it's fun to watch the people that are crazy like that.
Oh, my goodness. No, that is not happening. No, no way. No way. No way.
Just saying. That's entertainment for everybody, so just saying. So we'll be back soon, and now before we do that, let's answer some listener questions. That's why you're here. First question comes from Teresa. She says, hey there, Mike and crew. I'm a brand spanking new listener and have been binging on your podcast as I'm working and following you on Instagram. Lots of great advice. I have a question for you, too, that I could use some sage advice on. I just beat cancer. Yay! Congratulations. Yay. And I decided that I needed a re-birthday party at my happy place, Disney World, since I was in recovery from surgery during my real birthday last year. It will unfortunately be during summer. I don't really mind since I'm a Floridian and annual pass holder, so I've learned to get around. I've been I have about 10 to 15 people or more who are going to be flying in for the celebration. My plans are to let everyone go about their day as they wish, but one evening would be a Saturday night, yikes. I would like to find out any good, easily accessible. I would like to find any good, easily accessible from the parks. I was thinking by monorail or boat, not having to take a bus because of the crowds, sort of lounge or casual bar or cafe where a whole mini crowd can meet up without having to fight huge crowds. I was going to plan a dinner, but it might be too hard as some of the folks attending can afford quite a bit while others are on a shoestring. Also, it would be a place outside of the park. There's a couple people who are going to come for this get-together, don't have passes. Do you have any advice? So basically what she's asking for is a Saturday night, a bunch of people getting together outside of the parks, someplace just to hang out, like a bar, lounge, not necessarily a restaurant. Now, see, the first thing I thought of, which kind of is off the radar now because, A, it's in a park, and now it's going to be crowded, is Nomad Lounge. We love that place.
True.
Those days are gone. You know, if it being like hidden away and it's inside a park anyhow. So what are you thinking? My guess would be maybe the bar over at the Polynesian area, because you could go out in the outside area and sit on the lanai and have a pineapple, Dole Whip.
That's an interesting choice, although it can get busy there. So I'm going to totally steal Jay's answer, which was the Wave Bar, because they have this area. It's kind of like a circular area that you can go. They have three different bar areas that you can go sit in. And it's actually very cozy. It's kind of dark in there, so just kind of keep that in mind. It's got blue lighting, so to set the mood for the wave type lounge. I think it's a good place for a group that size. So I'm going with the Wave.
All right. She says, next related question is, since we have a crowd flying in, yes, definitely encouraged everyone to make bookings at Disney resorts, as they can take Magical Express over to Disney and they will never have to worry about transportation the whole trip. Does Disney offer any group discounts at any of the resorts? I've heard no, but thought it was worth it to ask. Or can you pre-book a group of rooms together, as in on the same floor or area? Since this is a busy time, any advice that you think might help this be a magical time for any of us and less stressful would be greatly appreciated. Thanks so much, T. All right, well, T, again, congratulations on beating cancer and going through that struggle. We are so proud of you, and you totally deserve this celebration. Hope it's everything you want it to be. Maybe we'll be down there at the same time. You're going this summer, so it's summer. We're going to be there, so hopefully we can catch up to you. The thing about group rooms, and we do this occasionally at the Magic for Less, it is an ordeal, to be honest, behind the scenes to book group rooms. What you have to do is you have to sign a contract with Disney saying how many rooms you think you're going to book. And then you are responsible if those rooms don't get filled, you have to pay for those rooms anyhow. So that's why you have to be cautious in approaching groups with Disney. And they give you slightly discounted rates, sometimes greatly discounted rates. Usually they start off really slight, but then if you work with them year after year, time after time, they'll increase those discounts for you. But yeah, groups is not the greatest thing for kind of everybody to use. Now, I will say one thing for everybody to think about, that if you're traveling with a group like this, maybe 15 to 20 people, is that while you might not get a group rate, always tell the cast member as you book these that you're traveling as a party. So what you'll get is what's called a travel with number, and they'll link all the reservations together, and that gives you the best opportunity to have your rooms adjoining or connecting at the resort, or at least very, very close in proximity, because that's what you want. If you're celebrating, you know, together and everybody wants to be together at the same resort, always request that the rooms get linked, and they will give you a travel with number. And keep track of that, because if you ever need to call Disney and ask about your location and keeping everybody together, the travel with number is very important, and it's very helpful to the cast members. So, Ricky, anything else for this celebration, getting everybody flying in? Magical Express, good tip.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe get like celebration buttons, and, you know, if that's something that you want to, you know, promote that you're celebrating, and everybody can wear a celebration button, that would be my suggestion. But I think that they've got a great idea and an idea for their trip and to re-celebrate her birthday. I think that's awesome.
All right, next question comes from Aaron. This is one we had at the top of the show. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I'm planning my family's first trip to the world for early December. I'm having a blast with the planning process, and your podcast adds a little magic to my morning commute. I would like to get your input on my plans for our travel day. I have a 7-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old son. We're staying at Port Orleans Riverside in a royal guest room. In addition to this being their first trip to Disney World, this will also be my kids' first time on an airplane. So I think we are already earning gold stars in parenthood this day and do not need to go to the parks. We'll be arriving to the resort between 2 and 3 p.m. Well, awesome for the first flight. Yay! It's kind of like me.
Yay! That is awesome.
I initially plan to use our first day to explore the resort, maybe a little swimming at the pool and having dinner at Boat Rites. I'm contemplating on scrapping this plan and instead taking a boat cruise to Disney Springs for dinner. There may be one other night we could fit this in during our trip, but not sure. We are not big into shopping, but my husband and I appreciate good food, and my kids would love the idea of taking a boat to dinner. I want to be back in bed at normal time as we're planning to be at the Magic Kingdom for rope drop the next morning. Your input is greatly appreciated. Thanks for bringing the magic into my life. We appreciate that, Aaron. Thanks so much. Great. Riverside's awesome. Let me just tell you, your kids are going to love it. You mentioned swimming as you arrive because you're getting there mid-afternoon. Awesome. Awesome. That pool, the Old Man Island pool at Riverside, is one of the best on property. There's so much to do over there. You got a bar next to it. You got kind of pop-up jets. It's secluded. It's got a really cool slide. Mallory loves that. She's about your kid's age. They are going to want to stay at that pool until midnight. I mean, just telling you. But you're exactly right. I would not go to boat rides. I would take a boat to Disney Springs if you enjoy a good meal and do that, because it's almost like their first ride of the trip, besides the airplane ride, which is kind of the most. I love my airplane rides now. It's like my big e-ticket now. But, you know, they're going to like that boat ride, go to Disney Springs. You don't have to shop. You can just get a meal. So, Ricky, what do you say to Aaron in this situation?
I think you've got the right idea. I would definitely go to Disney Springs. Yeah, you don't have to shop. I mean, when I go to Disney Springs, I don't shop a whole lot. But you can certainly enjoy the atmosphere, because the atmosphere to me is part of the fun. Depending on how late you're there, you know, they have entertainment. It varies. So you can have lots of different things that you can see while you're walking along. You know, I think that's a great idea. Nicole said you can meet the polar bear at the Coca-Cola experience. So that's a good option as well. So
that's the weirdest.
Definitely things you can do.
That's one of the weirdest meet and greets, though, because I don't know. It doesn't feel Disney. Because I've met the bear when I went down
right.
there. But it seems like a Six Flags kind of thing. It seems like a step down from meeting like a Pluto or Goofy or Mickey. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
I mean, no, you're right. It's definitely not the same as meeting, you know, Mickey Mouse. But, I mean, he's a big deal here in Atlanta. His face is on billboards. So,
yeah.
There's that.
Yeah, anyway. Does that make you popular? I want to be on a billboard. All right, anyway.
I'd
be like a most wanted billboard, I'm sure. All right, next question is from our good friend Keith Black. He says, we're looking to hang out at the boardwalk on our next visit to the world, but I'm not sure when the evening street performers are active. I found one website that mentions that they are out on Thursday through Saturday evenings. Can you confirm or clarify this information? So, Ricky, this one's perfect for you. So the boardwalk comes alive at night, and that's, I love it. You know, during marathon, we tend to hang out there because it's just a lot of fun. But it would make sense Thursday through Saturday night, because that's when the locals are more likely to be out, and this is a great local hangout. But is there not live entertainment the rest of the nights?
There was entertainment. It would be probably in the early evening, mid-evening, so like starting at maybe 6, 7 o'clock, and then going on. I'm not sure if it's all, you know, every night, but I can easily see, yeah, being Thursday. If you have any doubt, go Thursday through, you know, Sunday or Saturday or whatever it was. But, I mean, I love the entertainment on the boardwalk. I think it's great.
Me too. And I would say, you know, there's going to be more of an energy there too, Thursday to Saturday nights regardless. And that kind of is what makes it fun, because the locals are more likely, again, to be out. And, you know, I think the boardwalk is better when there's more people, you know, because it's better to have, you know, like 50 people watching the juggler than like you and the juggler. That's just weird. You know, if it's like one-on-one or the magician or whatever it is, the guy flipping the rings.
Exactly.
You know, stuff like that. All right, next question comes from Paula. She is in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. She says, hello, Be Our Guest podcast crew. Been listening for a few months now and working on getting through old episodes. Love the banter and the information in every show. My question is about tickets. My husband, 12-year-old daughter, and 8-year-old son and I are heading down to the world in September. We're staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge from September 2nd through the 8th. We currently have 4-day park hopper tickets, as well as tickets to Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. We are arriving around 3 p.m. on the 2nd and plan to resort hop for the rest of the day. We'll be in the parks September 3rd through the 6th and attending the Halloween party on the 7th. Our flight doesn't leave until almost 10 p.m. on the 8th. My question is, should we upgrade to Park Hopper Plus tickets or add a fifth day to our tickets? We are fine with the idea of hitting a park on our last day or with doing the water parks on the 2nd and 7th before the Halloween party. What would you do? We like both options and just can't decide on one. Thanks for your help, Paula. All right, so again, recapping. She's got 4-day park hoppers currently. They're going to be there the 2nd to the 8th. They're only going to go to the parks the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th. Okay, so that leaves them the arrival day of the 2nd. They're going to the Halloween party on the 8th and or 7th, and they're flying out on the 8th. So would you go, basically, for that extra day, would you add a day of Magic Your Way tickets? Or would you add the plus option that gets you in the water parks? And you could do the water parks more than twice if you want it, but she's saying twice.
Oh man, that is so tough. I really don't think you can go wrong either way. If it was me personally, I would probably choose the parks. I would probably add on a day. But I would look at the math and see which one worked out better, you know, financially, and then decide on that one probably, which one would be just a little bit cheaper. But I mean, I really don't think you have, I mean, I think you could do either and be fine. I really think you'd have a good time either way. So I'm probably not much help. I'm sorry.
No, she doesn't have a wrong decision. Either one's going to be a lot of fun because you're right. I mean, it gives you that option to go to a park another day, the fifth day. But here's what I do. I go with the water park option just because you're from Cedar Rapids. It's going to be cold down in Cedar Rapids starting in September. You know, October, it starts to turn cold here in the Midwest. Get in some water parks. You know, that makes it kind of feel like it's the dead of summer, and it's still hot. Trust me, in Florida, beginning of September, it's blazing. So
you don't have to worry. It's so hot.
Exactly. You don't have to worry about being cold. So go to those water parks. It's another layer. You know, Typhoon Lagoon's got the new, it's got Crush and Gusher, but what's the new one? I forgot.
Misadventure Falls. Misadventure Falls.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you got lots of Blizzard Beach is always fun if you want to go down Summit Plummet, scare yourself to death, get a wedgie, all the good stuff.
Yes.
Wedgies included with your park admission. Is that what Stacy says? Or used to say?
Yes.
All right, Matt's got the next question. Hi, Mike and team. Greetings from West Hartford, Connecticut. I've just recently found your podcast and have devoured a couple hundred episodes in the past couple of weeks.
Wow. That's a lot of us.
My wife would kill me if she heard me that much. So well done, Matt. I got to tell this to my wife. I'm showing this when I'm forwarding it on. Great show, he says. Now to my questions. Feel free to paraphrase. I'll just read, and I'm not very good at reading lately. My wife, daughter, and I are booked for an 8-night trip to Pop the week of Halloween. We really want to stay in one of the newly refurbished rooms, but we don't want to be miles away from the lobby or transportation. Do you guys have any idea which buildings would best fit those criteria come late October? We have used the touringplans.com room request tool with great success in the past, but it doesn't indicate anything about the newly refurbished rooms yet. All right, it's the second question, but let's go with that. So, Ricky, lay on us what we know about the refurbished rooms. They're starting, they started in the 90s, correct? And they're working their way down that way?
Yes. So from everything that I have heard, it has started in the 90s section. I actually spoke with Mary Jo. She was there a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I noticed that she was there. So the 90s section is definitely, I think, where they're starting. I think they are making their way forward next to the 80s and then the 70s and then the 60s and then the 50s, although I don't have any real insight into that. But if you are looking for a faster way to get to the front desk lobby area, you can. It's not necessarily the best way, but you can actually walk through the parking lot and you can get to the front desk area faster that way. So that's an option.
Yeah, I've done that in the 90s. Just cut across that little parking lot there and you're right there by the downtown Disney Springs bus stop, the end of the bus corrals there. All right, number two, we have done most of the rides at Walt Disney World, but have never done Soarin' and the Frozen ride at Epcot. My daughter, who will be 7 at the time of travel, used to love Frozen, but just likes it now. She's all about thrill rides and does not like dark rides as they are lame. Given that info, if you could only pick one of these two rides for us to FastPass, thus guaranteeing we can experience it, which one would you recommend? Thank you for putting on a great show, and I look forward to listening to your program for years to come. Matthew up in Connecticut. Thanks, Matthew. Love it. Pace yourself, brother. We're going to be there. It's a podcast. We don't go away. So, Frozen or Soarin', Essie? I would say, because I like Frozen a lot, but I love Soarin', and your daughter already said it's lame. You know, you don't want to be like, Dad, Frozen's lame. Why'd you get us this fast? Even though it's an awesome ride. Soarin'. What do you say, Ricky?
So, I think I'm going to go with Soarin' as well. I like Frozen. I think it's a great attraction. I think I'm going to go Soarin'. Definitely Soarin'.
All right. So we got two for Soarin'. So make it happen. Get on that FastPass ASAP. All right. Next question comes from Stephanie. She says, hi, Mike and crew. I've recently found your podcast and love it. My friend and I are both 22, and we're planning a trip to the world December 16th through the 21st. We'll be staying at All-Star Movies, and we'll be driving in around noon on the 16th. I have a couple of questions. We are planning on taking the bus to each park and want to rope drop all of them, at least once. My question is, how early before rope drop do you think we should leave our resort? We want to be close to the first in the door at rope drop. I did this last year, but didn't make it to rope drop in time at Epcot because the security line took so long. I don't know how long it'll take from movies to get past security into the park. My other question is this. If my friend and I are on the same reservation, it says redecoration, but I'm guessing it means reservation. I think
I got them.
Can we have a different credit card assigned to our Magic Band so we don't have to figure out how to split the cost of the food and merchandise? Thanks for all the tips and helping me survive my Atlanta commute by getting me excited for our trip. She is down in Alpharetta, Georgia. So there you go. A neighbor of yours, Ricky. All right. So first thing, I'm always way early. I'd rather be an hour early than 5 minutes late. You guys know I've said that forever.
Yes.
I'm on the first bus at all the races. So I'm crazy like this. She wants to know how soon she needs to leave movies to be like the very front of the crowd when rope drop happens. I would say if you truly want to be that person, you got to sacrifice.
Yeah.
Walk out your door 90 minutes before that park opens.
That's what I was going to say. Yes. Exactly what I was going to say.
And that's early. I mean, that's way early, but most of the semi-crazy people that want to be there super early are going to leave an hour before. You're going to be way crazier than them and leave 90 minutes before. Do it.
Correct.
Okay, so Ricky, yes. Address the magic bands when you have friends in the room and, you know, you don't have one rich friend that's paying for everything.
No. Okay, so I've definitely done this before when I've stayed with Florence and other people. So you have to go to the front desk when you check in, and you have to associate your credit card with your Magic Band and make sure that it's actually gone through. You can do it ahead of time if you do online check-in, but you want to make sure that that's actually gone through. So just go ahead and do that at the front desk. And also, before you leave, they should send you, put the packet or the, you know, the bill under your door. But if you notice anything there that's iffy, you know, go down to the front desk. Also, you might want to make sure to go down to the front desk anyway, just to make sure everything's all taken care of correctly when you leave.
All right, good stuff. And Angela says I'm like her mom because she's kind of likes to get there early. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right, Carolyn has the next question. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I've become so reliant on the podcast to make my Disney trips amazing, so I'm back again asking for some more advice. I'm rapidly approaching Fastpass Day for a much-anticipated trip with my best friend. She turned 30 in May, and I turned 30 in February. So we're going to do the last week of August, halfway between our birthdays, to celebrate our big 3-0. We're planning... Yes. That was a long time ago for me. No, just kidding. I'm looking forward to that in 7 years. I'll be 30.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm so young. Anyway, we're planning our trip to hit Epcot on the first day of the Food and Wine Festival. It'll be both of our first times doing that, and we can't wait. What I was wanting advice on was trying to find something special for the two of us to do as a special birthday celebration for ourselves without breaking the bank. We're open at any park, resort, or Disney Springs. Thanks so much for always coming through with great advice. My trips wouldn't be nearly as good without you guys. Carolyn is, in best friend Jordan. It doesn't say where they're from. I thought she was from Jordan, but that's her friend's name. So she kind of tricked me there. So they can do any park, resort, or Disney Springs. I'm going to put in... Well, I'm going to let you go first, Ricky, because I've kind of gone first a lot this time. What would you say?
That's okay. I am totally going to go with the brand new Frozen Ever After Dessert Party. And the reason I'm going to go with that is because you're guaranteed a ride on Frozen, which is awesome. You get dessert party, and you get to see a illuminations in a, you know, secluded spot. So I think that that's a good option. So, and you don't have to waste a fast pass either, which is nice.
That is very good. I have two things, both at Epcot as well. One would be you're there for the beginning of the Food and Wine Festival. Watch for those special behind the scenes kind of experiences that you can have, you know, maybe a private tasting with one of the famous chefs, or, you know, like a one of those where they give you like a tequila seminar, or, you know, martini seminar, something like that. That'd be fun for a 30th birthday. Also, they have some great tours all around Walt Disney World. And if you guys are Disney nuts, and you probably are, if you're traveling there for your 30-0 celebration, I'm doing one, which honestly, I hadn't heard of. My wife booked for me I've actually done it by now, by the time you hear the show, so I'll have a review of it. But it's what it is, I think it's the old Segway tour around World Showcase. It's a five-hour tour of all 11 countries. It's a walking tour, and you end with lunch at Rosencrown. And it's not terribly expensive. It's around $100. So when you consider you're having a meal, you get to have a five-hour tour and get a lot of backstage information. I think that might be a good value. So I'll have a review of that here on one of the shows coming up. But, you know, don't discount tours for Disney fans. I think that's a great way to see Disney again in a different way. So I would say a tour or one of those exclusive events at Food & Wine. Anything else?
I think those are good.
All right.
No, I think those are great. Yeah.
All right. Let's get to Carla. Hi, Mike. I love listening to your podcast with the ladies. As a fellow teacher and Disney lover, I'm extremely envious of your new venture and wish you the best on this new endeavor. Thanks. It doesn't seem real right now. It just seems like summer. But
yeah.
I'm sure the first day of school when I don't have to put on khakis, I'll be like, yes, I'm going. My commute's down the steps. That'll be pretty awesome. My husband and I travel to Disney twice a year, and we're currently planning a trip for this coming August, and we'll be staying at Port Orleans. I've not stayed at this resort since I was a kid, and we have no idea how to choose between French Quarter and Riverside. Since it's a short trip, and we plan on only visiting one park, Animal Kingdom, to experience Pandora. For the rest of the time, we'll probably be enjoying the pool, Disney Springs, and resort hopping to different restaurants. Can you and the ladies help us choose between French Quarter and Riverside? Thanks for helping us continue the magic back at home. Carla is in Connecticut. We're big in Connecticut today. It's kind of interesting. So you got Port Orleans, which back in the day was Port Orleans, and you had Dixie Landings. Now it's Riverside and French Quarter. Wow. Here's my problem. You guys know how I feel about Riverside. I adore Riverside. But remember, another thing with me on the podcast, you've been with us for any length of time, the last resort I stayed at always ends up being my favorite resort for the time being. I'm coming off a French Quarter stay right now, so I'm probably pretty high in French Quarter. I always love that little place. Really, you can't go wrong. If I was staying at the resort exclusively, like except for that time going to Animal Kingdom for Pandora, Riverside, just because it's bigger and there's more to do. The pool's a little bit bigger. You got Yeehaw Bob. You got a sit-down restaurant. The food court, it's about a wash, but maybe it's slightly better at Riverside. It's bigger, definitely. I don't know. Ricky, what would you say?
I was going to say Riverside, too, based off the fact that, like you said, they weren't going to the parks very much. They were going to stay at the resort mostly. So that was my suggestion, too. At first, I was leaning towards French Quarter just because it's a little smaller. But there's just so much to do at Riverside. I think that that's probably a better option for them.
And I love the idea of, you know, you're going down to see Pandora. It's a quick trip, so you don't want to spend a lot of time in the parks. That's fine. And that doing some resort hopping, Disney Springs, if you're going to be spending any time at Disney Springs, Old Key West, French Quarter, Riverside, great options because, and also Saratoga, obviously, because of the proximity and the boat transportation to Disney Springs, it kind of becomes an attraction in itself.
Yeah.
You just got to think that way. And I think you're going to have a great time. And slowing down that way, this might be your best trip ever. That time we went down pre-spring break cruise, we loved it, and we didn't even go to the parks, so that was one of our best times because we just got to chill. We never chill at Disney. It's crazy. All right, time for the last question today. It's from Carolyn. It says, hi, Pam, Ricky, and Mike. I love the show and have learned a lot. I appreciate you taking time out of your week to do the podcast and spread your positive attitudes. Hey, we appreciate you guys listening. It takes a lot of time to listen, so thank you. I have a few questions regarding payments with the Disney Cruise Line. Number one, can I use the Disney Vacation Savings account to pay for a cruise? Ricky, do you know? I do.
I think that would be yes.
Yes, it is. You can use it. It runs just like a Disney gift card. Secret. Yes. If you can't get it, if you ever need to process a payment with a Disney Vacation Club account, select gift card. It's the same thing. Okay. That's a little behind the scenes for you, but tip. Number two, could I use Disney gift cards to pay for a cruise? Ricky?
Yes.
Yes. But here's, let me give the hint on that one. If you're using a travel agent, don't hand them 267 Disney gift cards at church on Sunday and be like, oh, can you do this? Because then your travel agent's doing that for the next 3 weeks. No, what you can do, this is something new, and it's actually awesome for a couple of reasons. One, it keeps your travel agent happy, which who cares about that? I do, but I mean, you don't.
But, yeah.
But the thing is that you can take these Disney gift cards, usually if you buy them in smaller amounts like 50s or, you know, even smaller than that, What you do is you go to DisneyGiftCard.com, singular, DisneyGiftCard.com, and you can create a free account, and you can load all of these smaller cards into one central account that gives you one gift card number up to $1,000. And the reason to do that is, if you get a refund for some reason, like the price goes down because of a discount or you have to cancel, that money always goes back to the particular cards that were used for that payment. So if you use 76 gift cards, you got to figure out, oh my gosh, well, I have money on these things and it might not be the same amount. So it becomes a nightmare. If you combine them all on DisneyGiftCard.com, that money just basically goes back into that account. And then when you're ready to make another payment later on to do something else, boom, it's there. One number.
Nice.
Easy peasy. And you're not giving Disney as many chances to make a mistake.
Do you get a gift card then sent to you? Or how does that work, Mike?
No, I think it's all online. I don't think you get a physical gift card. You just get a 16-digit account number. And you can just use that.
Yeah, well, I was just curious in case you wanted to use it like in the parks or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Because I never see them. But yeah, you're right. You probably do. You can probably request one for sure.
I wonder. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, and she says, and lastly, can you pay down your post-cruise stateroom bill using the vacation account and or Disney gift cards? Thanks in advance. Carolyn says she's from the royal side of 70. So I'm guessing that's out in Nate territory, Wedway Radio Country, which would be Kansas City. Yes. So can you pay down your stateroom bill? This is a big tip for everybody. You can, but here's the thing. You need to do this before, at the latest, around dinner time, the last night of your cruise. You can't do this the morning of breakfast when they're kicking you off the ship. It's too late. So you got to go down and just say, you know, I'm paying my bill down. And I would do it around lunchtime on the last day of your cruise because it gets to be a nightmare that last night. A lot of people want to do this to alleviate that, but you're going to be standing in line forever. So do it around lunchtime, the last day of your cruise, and you can do that. No problem. So, Ricky, do you guys ever do that? Because I just kind of just bite the bullet and just pay it when it comes on the credit card.
Yeah, no, I just pay my credit card. So then I get more points, right?
That's true. I get points
and I can use those for my next cruise.
That's exactly it. Then you go on another cruise. That's what you do. All right.
Disney math.
Total Disney math. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for the questions. Hopefully you enjoy those. We're chilling out in Jamaica, man. But we'll be back here soon. Of course, today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Ricky, I know we're recording this one a little bit early, so we don't know exactly what is going in the news, which is kind of nice. We're detached here for a week because I follow the news daily. So do you, like hourly. It's kind of fun to not have to.
Every half hour.
So look into your crystal ball. What are we reading about this week on Theme Park News Disney Edition?
Crystal ball. I'm going to say we're going to be reading about a lot of rumors about what's going to take place at this weekend's D23.
So Ratatouille and Guardians. Basically,
correct.
Right?
I would assume that would be the case, and you know, probably some Marvel stuff over at Disneyland. Definitely some Star Wars stuff coming off of the Star Wars Land stuff. So yes, that's what I think we're gonna see.
Will they announce the Star Wars hotel adjacent to Disney's Hollywood Studios this weekend?
I don't know that they're ready for it. If that's coming, I don't think they're ready for it. But also, yes, Toy Story Land updates, 100%. You're going to get those. You're going to find out the date of Toy Story Land this weekend.
Who's up for the Slinky Dog coaster? This guy.
What up?
Can't wait.
I'm ready to go.
All right, so check out these and other great stories. Again, Theme Park News Disney Edition. It is the right price. It is free for your iOS device. Grab it today. And other great apps over at virtualmickey.com. Do follow us on the social media. We let it cool down while we went on the cruise because, of course, I was smoking it out there, before the cruise. That's what I do. But then I had to, you got to pay for your tweets. Okay, that slows me down. I'll tell you that. But we get off the ship on Saturday morning. I'll be down there for another week. We're going to be lighting it up again. So Instagram and Twitter at BRGuestMike. Ricky posts some great stuff. We'll be live on Facebook as well, facebook.com/BRGuestPodcast. So check that out. And don't forget, when you're doing your shopping this week, please use our Amazon affiliate link. Go through BRGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. We get a little kickback from them. Costs you nothing extra. It's a great way that we can support the show without asking you to, spend any extra money. It's the same amount. So BRGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. We appreciate that very, very much. Also, we got to remind you that we have the Be Our Guest podcast live 12-hour show. It's a tradition. It's coming your way shortly. It's going to be on July 30th, which is a Sunday. We're going to be going 9 to 9. Is that right, Ricky?
9 to 9.
Okay,
that's
It's 8 to 8 my time in the central time zone. 9 to 9, July 30th. And we're asking for your help for the show. We need you to spread the word wherever you go. You know, the communities that you visit, on your social media, whatever you do. Let people know that we're raising money for Give Kids the World, trying to raise $17,000 here in 2017 in 12 hours. That's a big task. But last year we brought in $30,000, but we're just trying to be realistic here. 17 grand would be amazing. But the only way we can do that is if we get the word out everywhere. So please share this on your social media. July 30th, 9 to 9. It's going to be right here on Facebook. We're going to be on Mixler, I'm sure, as well, live. We're going to be taking your calls on Skype. We've got that all squared away. We got the old XP machine back here ready to go. And it's going to be a great day. So it's kind of like those old Sunday Night Live shows, but for 12 straight hours. So squirrel away some money. You know, we'd love your donation. Lizards, remember, Mike Bankhead's going to be hitting you up for that $50 donation. We try to do 50 a year for all the lizards. And if we just do that, we have 1,100 lizards. Bam. We're helping a lot of families. So put it on the calendar. We're going to be talking Disney for 12 hours straight, and we're really focusing on you this year. We're going to have some special guests from around the Disney community, but we're focusing on leaving a lot of time just to talk back and forth so we can have conversations about everything Disney, because there's so much to talk about. So July 30th, keep that on the calendar. All right, time to get back to Jamaica, Mon. I got to get, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm going to go look for, maybe I'll race Usain Bolt today. Maybe I can find him.
Oh, it's like, maybe. I don't know about that.
Well, I want to race the dash, or the freeze.
Yeah, not the dash.
Yeah, I want to race the freeze down Atlanta. Then I'll take on Usain Bolt and get smoked by both. But, you know, so it'll be fun. All right. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work, Mon. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.